Hi, I'm Rich, and you're listening to Fool's Daily. And on today's episode of Fool's Daily, we've got Matt and Rich back from Guild Ball to talk to us some more about, figures and hopefully organised their play this time.
Hey, how's it going?
Not too bad. Thank you very much for coming back again and joining us again, chaps.
No problem, anytime.
So we talked about rules and rule books and sort of fluff and stuff yesterday, in yesterday's episode, or in the previous episode, you never know how these will go out, but I wanted to talk figures today, if that's okay, because I am one of the lucky ones so far, as previously mentioned. Figures are great generally. I don't know, this is just feels like a bit of feedback, but I want to, you see, part of me wants to know. I know we've not quite done with sort of initial shipping. I want to know what's coming next for the figures, you see.
Oh, well, we can talk about that at the end. You just have to find me with booze.
Because already I feel that I need a tower.
You do need a tower in your life. He is awesome.
That was a really good one at the end.
Yeah.
I do need a tower, and I know that hopefully that will be emerging at some point in time. But, I mean, figures have gone very well. Are you... This is a bit of a weird one, I suppose. Are you happy with your decisions sort of like revolving around your choices for casting and stuff for the figures? Because unusually, is it all UK produced?
Yeah. Yes, it is. And we are absolutely happy. We've had a couple of hiccups along the way. We've learned a hell of a lot. Certainly, I have a greater understanding of 3D printing and the constraints to setting a model up for 3D printing, and then how a 3D master is then used to actually make, you know, temporary molds and then, you know, you actually, you know, make the final molds out of it and all that kind of jazz. It's been a massive learning experience, really, really fascinating journey. As someone who's been painting models since the age of about 8 or 9, so that's 35 years ish. it's actually really, really fascinating to be a part of the end-to-end process and actually designing models.
I mean the figures I've got, I went for the metal figures over the particular resin does, and when I came to pick up my figures, I did have a crafty look at some of the resin stuff that was hanging about. To be fair, both are very crisp. I mean, the lead ones that I've got very few mold lines on it. There's been no miscasts or anything. The sort of production values seem quite high in comparison to a Kickstarter I had where the stuff was produced in China.
Well, this is the trouble with when you go overseas, and it's, you know, apart from anything. You know, we're proud of where we come from, and I'm hugely proud of coming from a creative industry based in the UK that has a global reputation for high quality. I think the, you know, people in the UK are fantastically creative people and capable of very high standards of work, and it does cause me some degree of pain, you know, when the default response, you know, the default approach is to, you know, pile them high, sell them cheap and smash out like this high, you know, really low quality product. And, you know, this kind of fairly bullshit attitude, we started off with this. I don't know, Rich, do you want to tell them about the conversation we had when we realized we were up against a potential competitor during the Kickstarter project?
Yeah, essentially, like, during the Kickstarter, there was another Kickstarter flying at the same time, and they had, they produce in higher quantities and lower price point. And me and Matt were kind of, well, do we start the Kickstarter now? Do we wait off? And we actually, you know, we made the decision to go at the same time. And people appreciated, you know, there's two types of people out there, really. The ones that want the large box of multiple figures, you know, and huge wad of stuff to do with the lower quality, maybe. Or the people that want, you know, a selection of figures of a very high quality. And me and Matt have took that route for our products, you know. Mm. It's not to say that, you know, that there isn't, you know, there's some things that we just can't get made in the UK. You know, there's some things, for instance, gaming mats that are just very hard to source in the UK.
Yeah, little things like that. I understand.
You know,
In my mind, the figures for a game are very important.
But the figures are, you know, that's your bread and butter. That's what the game, you know, when people walk over to that table, they see your figures. You know, within seconds, they're picking it up, looking at it. And if the quality's not there for me and Matt, that's kind of like, you know, that is the be all and the end all. You know, it needs to look good. Yeah, it's the deal breaker.
I mean, and that's exactly it. The feeling that I got opening the figures that I got from you guys compared to the figures that I got from another Kickstarter, where the first one I opened to clean up was miscast. And already I'm like, and then let's have a look at another one. And so I open one, this one's okay. I open the third one, miscast. Or the mold isn't very good. And I'm just like,
Rich was laughing at me yesterday because I've managed to get up to Stockport for the day to help the guys with the packing and basically the process is you put a full team plus all the bases and balls and all that kind of jazz all in a box, and then the boxes get stacked up high, and then when you start combining orders, you grab a brewer's box and a fisherman's box and you put them into one box and out it goes, that kind of thing. But I was being quite soppy. Every single box to me that I was putting together, I was just acutely aware that the six models I was putting in there represented someone being happy and surprised and delighted when they opened the box, and happy and to spend 12, 18 hours painting those six models, and then just thinking about the amount of hours they were just going to enjoy playing the game, you know, like countless hours, hopefully, like, you know, 20, 30, 40, 50 hours just playing the game, each and every one of those boxes. It just felt special to me. And you know, we've... The guys at Element, who have been hand QCing every single mini to the highest standards, you know, this is what we do. We firmly believe that if, as war gamers, we work hard for our money, we should get value for our money. And the value that we want to give you isn't volume, it's quality. It's giving you the best quality miniatures that we could possibly design with a great game that we've worked very hard to make enjoyable. And hopefully people get, you know, they feel like they're getting value for money out of the whole Guild Ball experience.
Yeah, I think that, well, hopefully that people will feel that. I certainly feel that, you know, the figures that I've had have hit those standards, that my standards of expectation, they're certainly there. It's good stuff. I mean, you see, is it okay to ask how we're sort of getting on with getting the Kickstarter stuff out the door? Is that sort of like...
No, you can ask.
Yeah, it's absolutely fine. I can give you an update now with it.
Yeah, go on, Rich.
I'm literally currently sat in the office, and there's two people currently backing our business partners for Steamforge Games, Greg and Byron. They are currently picking and packing orders now. It's currently, what, 10 o'clock at night? Here's Greg, actually, he's just popped in. Yeah, you can say something.
We've dispatched so far 150 orders.
There you go, so. Yeah, so we're getting there, you know, we're getting there.
So it's going well then, because I know people are sort of like anxiously waiting to get their hands on these things.
Exactly, so.
The anticipation is high, and I figure that you guys will be doing your best to get sort of stuff out there.
Yeah, and then like we've had the slight delay we put out on Kickstarter as well. I don't know when this episode goes out, but you know, the delay of the Morticians and Rage has added a slight delay again, you know, 5-10 days, but and those orders will go out after that, obviously. But the you know, these things happen right near the end, but we are still completely on target with our retail deadline of the 22nd of April to 25th of April. So yeah, it means it's all going good as far as this goes. You know, Kickstarters do take time to get out the door. And I think it's when people see what they get and they think, oh right, each one's been bagged, each one's been QC'd, each one's been checked, each one's been then put in a box with the card, with the base topper, with the base, with the goal, with the, you know, you start adding all that up, it's not a 5-minute job to do all this.
Yeah. I mean, to a little anecdote, when I came, I saw that the quality control for, it was Casket, I think, that it was in,
yeah.
And watching while I was hanging about trying to find you, young Mr. Loxham, watching the chap sort of go through and check the all the bits for Casket. It seems to be a thorough process that's happening. Yeah. So, you know, I mean, seeing it in action gives you a massive amount of faith actually. So I'm happy to tell people, you know, it's coming, it's okay, it's on its way, and I think it'll be good.
I think it's one of them. I think the Periscope videos have helped. We've been doing as well, because we've been doing some, you know, live streams from the phone, you know, while we're doing the packing. It's give people an appreciation of what's actually happening.
Yeah, I think it's good. I think it's good. So when might we? This is going to be terrible, isn't it? Because I feel like I'm being greedy now. When might we see some of those players that are they're kicking about in the book that might not yet have
Give them a name.
Tower, for instance, because I don't think I've seen a sculpt of Tower, but I know he's in the book and he's not part of the Masons.
Well, I've got a Tower sitting in front of me right now.
Yeah, people have been getting Towers. They're on the way out.
Oh, man.
Oh. That's terrible. Come and see us to salute. You'll probably be able to buy one.
I don't think I'll be making salute, but I'll thankfully, Stockport is within ease of striking distance. I'll see what I can do about that. I know a guy who knows a guy. I might.
Yeah, exactly.
What I'm hoping to be, it'd be good. Well, this is excellent news, gents, sort of all round, and I long may it continue. That's the thing. I hope that you know your success with getting the rest of the orders out and stuff. And I just kind of want to move on to organised play now, because I feel that you've got the rule set for organised play. So, is there anything you can let us in on?
Absolutely. In the next, I would say the next few weeks, a little bit busy with Salute and the Kickstarter, obviously, but we have the draft document already created. It's been currently internally playtested. Jamie Perkins and Jeff Porritt have taken a big hand in this, along with Dave Harbord and Max Horseman. They've all kind of contributed to creating this, and it's kind of a little project. Me and Matt, we kind of give the overview of what we wanted, me and Matt, and they've kind of run with it and started producing it. So, you know, there's no one better than someone, for instance, like Jamie, who's took the main lead on this, to create that. You know, and for anyone who's listening, if you don't know Jamie's, he's kind of a world class tournament player in War Machine, one of the best in the world. So,
As is Jeff, actually.
Is Jeff in Blood Bowl.
Those four names I know.
Yeah.
Jamie through playing Hordes and War Machine, but the other three guys I know through playing Fantasy back in the day, and they're all top end Fantasy players as well. So,
When you're putting these people in charge of it, you know, and they've played this experience, and same with me, you know, I've got a big handle in the organised play. And, you know, the system, if you want a little overview, we can give you a little brief view.
Oh, yes, please.
So, me and Matt love League of Legends. It's no surprise. If you've been on anything we've talked on, we absolutely love League of Legends. And the way it works in that, there's a system of draft system. Where players are kind of picked and banned at the start. And we've kind of brought some elements in a varying degree to the organised play system. So what you'll see in the first few months is a very simple system, which is basically you'll choose six models, a captain, a mascot, and then four models from that team. And then you'll have two sideboard characters that you can choose if you wish. So you can bring them along. You'll see who you're playing, and you'll choose six models out of the eight you brought, basically.
I like that a lot. So that's
kind of the first port of call. Now, we'll have appendices in the back of the book. And going towards the end of the year, you know, we are planning events this year. We are planning official sanctioned events. We've already got a couple booked in. One at the UK Games Expo, one in Sheffield Outpost, I confirmed last week. And we'll be contacted a few others, already have spoke to Firestorm, etc. So you'll see them coming. And hopefully this will accumulate in a kind of big grand tournament at the end of the year, location to be determined. But in that format, we're actually going to try and push this appendices that we're working on, which essentially is that you choose your captain and mascot. And then you have your eight player roster. And what will happen is you'll kind of roll a dice off. And again, this is a off the press, it may change, but you roll a dice off. If you lose dice roll, you present the first model.
Okay.
To the opponent, and then your opponent will look at that, and then he'll present one of his models, and it'll kind of go back and forward until you've chosen your six. So it's a real kind of game in itself, essentially.
Okay, so like team building, sort of on the fly, almost.
It's kind of on the fly. You're presenting your list of players and your eight list of players, but actually then, you know, you've got that kind of counterplay of like, okay, he's put Casket down. I know he's going to be getting VPs quite heavy. He's going to be searching for them, so I think he's going to be playing this character and this character. So who can I do to counter that? And I'm going to print this back. You know, what are they going to do? And then counter picks. And
okay, I like that.
It's a kind of the higher level, and that's why we're leaving. It's an appendices for people to use to, you know, for the first part of the year, but going towards the end of the year, we definitely want to try and push people towards that kind of game style.
So that's the kind of mechanic that will get more and more interesting the more and more models come out.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, that fits in nicely with the what you were saying in the previous episode about sort of like mastering those top end bits of gameplay and stuff. And,
exactly.
And, yeah, I like that. I like that a lot.
I think as well, just before we move on, it kind of helps with the, you know, even at the base level, you know, our game isn't a rock, paper, scissors game. It just isn't, you know, the way we've built it from the ground up. However, this kind of system as well, it gets away from that again, because what's happening is it's your choices that you're making when that happens. You know, if you put the wrong character down, then, you know, you're going to have less of a, you know, a game experience than a different character. So you're kind of doing it to yourself as well as you're playing. So every action you do has an impact on what you do. There's no kind of unwinnable situation, but you obviously, you know, sway that balance, you know, to positive and negative.
Do you feel that this kind of sort of negates a little bit of sort of like netlisting that we've sort of seen happen in other games?
Hopefully. This is one of the intentions, that hopefully, you know, you'll see certain characters obviously being quite popular, things like that, but our game has a very nice balance. You know, we have no point system in our game. It's a real big factor of our game. You know, you can take a list of four heavies and the morticians if you want, you know, 440 mil bases, but you'll suffer from that if you do that, or you might benefit from that. And again, this is kind of getting away from that net listing that you know, and this kind of draft system is again supporting that fact. And you know, in season two and beyond, me and Matt spoke to, you know, this draft system, rather than just being out of 8 players, actually looking at about, well, what about having it out of 12 players, you know, and having a real selection of options. So there's a lot of potential.
I've got a couple more questions related around organised play, if you don't mind. Can you tell us how you might be looking at results and recording results and stuff to determine, you know, matchups for following rounds?
So, should we talk about the ELO system, Matt?
Why not?
Okay. So we are actually, you know, from the get-go, again, we're looking to do organised play properly. We currently have one of Steamforged, Greg Playle. He's currently coding us a ELO system for the game. Now, if you're not familiar with an ELO system, essentially...
That one's new to me. That one needs right, some explanation.
Essentially, an ELO system is a global ranking system where basically everyone that plays the game will have a points allocated to them. And then when they play someone, their ELO will raise or lower as it goes on. So every season, the ELO will reset. And again, if you play League of Legends, this kind of system is very similar. So the better players will move up in the ELO system.
There's an important kind of factor in there. If you play someone of a higher skill than you are and you beat them, you get a lot of points.
Yes.
If they beat you, they get a small amount of points or even none if the gap is too large. So if you had Jamie P play me, then he would get 1 or 2 points, whereas if I managed to beat him, I might get like 50 or 100 points. You know, it's like a massive differential. So the idea is if you're playing people of equal skill, you should practically, your ELO should normalize and stabilize at that level, and that then defines how good you are at the game.
Initially, we're going to try and roll this out at our official sanctioned tournaments, and that's kind of the plan. But, you know, we want to support tournament organizers, so the way we're building it hopefully should be one where we'll be able to essentially sanction people. We've got the pundit system, which is essentially our volunteers, and this kind of sanctioning of events and that will come through that. So, you know,
The other beauty of the system is as well is because I'm sure people's initial reaction will be, well, people will just cheat their ELO up. Well, sure, if you cheat your ELO up to give yourself a higher ELO, that means that you will be playing far better players, and eventually you're going to get found out. You know, it's one of the fairest systems that, you know, a bit like in League of Legends, I could go onto eBay and buy myself a platinum account now. But if I was playing against platinum players, I would not have a fun time. I would be getting smashed up every single game I play in. So I play at my, you know, silver gold level, and I'm quite happy with that.
Okay, that's just an interesting system. That'd be something to keep an eye on and see how that goes. That'd be interesting. We've mentioned seasons, and sort of like we're in season one at the moment. And how long might we be looking at between seasons? Are we talking?
It's a tough question at this stage.
It is a tough question. Yeah.
The reason being is that, you know, what we need to be mindful of and what we're learning as we go along is how to build a stable foundation on the business. So it feels like we need to make sure we're consolidating properly on the fantastic start that we've had. You know, we've got 65 model range. We need to make sure that we've got a reliable pipeline all set up and that's running and ticking along. And then we can then start layering on top of it. And one of the things we had a really long conversation about when we were down in Wales the other weekend was how and when, in which direction do we grow, you know, the overall IP. And I don't know if you remember when we were talking about it during some of our Kickstarter run-ins that, you know, the great thing about Guild Ball is it's extensible in several directions. That's also... It's a two-edged sword, unfortunately. We have so many different options that we could add that we could end up, you know, maybe diversifying in the wrong direction. So, like with everything, we think very carefully about everything we do. We measure twice before we cut. And so we're sitting down and thinking, you know, if we do this, and we've already had a brilliant idea that we had locked in our minds for about 2 or 3 months, mm-hmm. and we've now shelved it. It's yep. not the right thing for us to do. That being said, we have talked about an additional team coming out, and we've also talked about additional captains for the existing teams. And rest assured, the entire design intention of the new captains will be to create a different way of playing with the same models that you have. This is one of the things that I fell in love with when I first played War Machine Mark One was the fact that I could swap Denny out for Gatsby, and you know, suddenly it, my McCrolls and my Banelites all played super different, and it was brilliant. So it's that kind of feeling that we want to get to.
Yeah, it's interesting. The idea of new captains is and again, something that I've been looking forward to, though I'm not sure how I feel about replacing Shark already. but there we go. Such is my liking for the chap. That's super, gents. So, I think, is there anything else?
Well, you've seen
the
picture of the replacement captain, haven't you, for the fisherman? We have leaked that.
We have leaked Corsair.
Might be a guy who's had a leg chopped off. Just saying.
Oh, now. I might have to try the internet shortly and see how we're going with that. Because I don't think I've seen that. I must have missed a few things. Sad face. So, is there anything else you want to mention before sort of. We'll sort of wrap this up because we're sort of probably massively over time as usual. But
one quick one is that we are going to be producing new models this year. You know, Matt's already mentioned that, and we will stagger them appropriately with the growth of the business. But you know, we have got currently two models in sculpt, and when they come out, we're not entirely sure yet. But you know, we are producing new content this year, 100% for the game.
I think, I mean, season two will hit this year. It will definitely hit this year. It will probably be towards the end of Q3. I would have. And that's just a completely off the top of my head rough estimate.
It's when it feels sensible, yeah.
Good stuff. Well, I hope that you can build upon the good start that you've had. I'm personally sort of excited to get in and play some games and get some events. So just to round up, we've got events possibly happening at UK Games Expo.
Yes, that one's booked in, so there is a definite tournament, UK Games Expo. And I think the 20th of June, I want to say, there'll be one at Sheffield Outpost. They're the first two on the books.
Outpost. And and as soon as it's Mike's baby, we ought to mention it, possible plans to make an appearance at DAF Con, perhaps?
100%.
Comrade has already spoken to me about that, from the bath.
from the live stream the other day.
We have confirmed that Guild Ball will be at DAF Con. Obviously, if there's any clashes, but I don't think there is, so I think we're good.
Such is that man's commitment that he works from the bath. It's, you know...
Something.
Yeah, definitely something. Gentlemen, thank you very, very much for joining us. It's been great to talk to you, and thanks for giving up your time.
Yeah, thank you for having
us. Thank you very much.
And that's it. Thank you very much for listening, ladies and gentlemen. I've been Rich.
I've been Matt. In the middle.
And I've been Rich.
Get in! What an ending. Thanks very much. Good night.
Good night.
You can contact Fools Daily on Twitter, we're at Fools_Daily, or via email, foolsdaily@outlook.com.